Thank you, Jesus. Take your Bible and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 34. I'm going to go through a few verses. As I've said many times in the last two or three years, getting dressed and coming to church is probably the easiest Christian thing you'll do. Well, this seems to be pretty difficult for some, but that's another subject for another day. But when you get right down to it, the most difficult thing we will do is trust God when we get run over by a car. When something comes, them sudden things that you don't see coming, that just walks up and just slaps you upside the head, and you think, well, where in God's name did that come from? Solomon also said in Proverbs 3 and verse 24 or 25, he said, be not afraid of sudden fear, surprises. Because they, remember them little things you wound up when we was kids and it popped out? My grandma jumped every time that thing popped out, so we liked to do it. But anyway, she went to her grave. Every time she hit a thing of canned biscuits, she got old, she couldn't make regular biscuits, she just got some of them in the can, but she'd stand there. Deborah, I can see Marty, like it's right here, tapping it. And she'd still jump. The world's full of surprises, but God's not surprised.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to preach to you very some simple but yet profound. I want to preach on choose to believe.
Amen.
It's not like a natural thing that we do. It's a spiritual thing, Pastor Ricky. And we have to choose to believe God. And there's a lot of things that comes against us that will hinder choosing to believe God. Things that will happen that will cause us to get depressed and down and out or anxious, and so we don't believe God. So when we shut our faith down, Satan don't care if you come to church.
No.
He don't care how pretty you look on Sunday morning.
No.
But what he don't want you to do is trust God.
Right.
So if he can shut that down, he can shut your power down in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom cycle works on faith. And you get that cycle going, if you get unbelief in there, you're going to shut that cycle down. You understand what I'm saying? And it takes, sometimes it's kind of hard to get the truck cranked again. You follow me? Choose to believe God. The lady here, she'd had an issue of blood for 12 years, but she said with her own mouth, if I can touch Jesus' clothes, I'll be healed. That's what she built her faith on. So you need to believe, you need a basis for your faith. Now, how did she figure that out? Well, she saw other people touch Jesus. She saw people, Jesus touch people. So touch is reciprocates. One person can't do touch by themselves. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have somebody to touch and somebody not, somebody doing the touching. You understand? And so she had watched this, Mark Peebles, and she thought, well, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. She'd been sick 12 years, spent all her money. She's broke. And he said, verse 534, and Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, or wholeness. All peace in the Bible means all things together, and be whole of thy plague. So she left healed because she touched Jesus. But more importantly, when she touched Jesus, something run up that hand and run all over her body, and she was healed, okay? There was this exchange that happened. Okay? Now, go with me, if you would, please, to 536. Just drop down, skip down to another verse. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler. Now, what happened is there was a girl dying and she was dead. And so they come to tell Jesus. That's where Jesus was going, was to heal this sick girl. Well, he stopped to heal this other lady and had a testimony service on the way. And, because he wasn't worried about the situation. Everybody else seemed to be real worried about it, and I would have been too, and we would have all been. Jesus stopped to talk to this other lady, and they talked about all that. So a messenger came from the sick girl's house and said, don't worry about it, she's dead. Jesus is talking to a group of people, Scott. But see, he can multitask. And Donna, he heard that word, that negative word, she's dead, don't bother me. Jesus spun in verse number 36, and he said, as soon as Jesus heard that negative word, that faith-killing word, that lack of belief word, that hopelessness word, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He didn't say, send me some money and I'm going to send you a handkerchief. He didn't say, and Paul gave out handkerchiefs in Acts. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? If the person you're sending the money to has got something to put on that handkerchief other than some kind of juju, all right? He's got to have the power of God on that, okay? He didn't say, go to church next Sunday. He said, only means only. Believe. That was a tough situation right there. I mean, she's dead. But he said, only believe. Now, let's just hold a second. As soon as Jesus heard this word that was spoken, it was a negative word. You need to be observant. In order for you to be able to process choosing to believe, you've got to be observant and conscious and aware, Dr. B, of what other people are saying into your ears.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Now, you may be in a work environment and you can't escape them, but you can shut them out somehow or another. You've got to just build your spirit up and just let it like water off a duck's back. Jesus heard that. He shut it down. If you hear that negativity, you got to shut it down. You may not can announce it at work, but see, what you got to understand in your spirit, they can't shut your spirit down.
Right.
Okay? And in your spirit say, you know, Lord, I don't receive that. If they want to do that, they can, but not me. I'm a believer.
Amen.
I believe God's able.
Amen.
So I'm going to choose to believe in spite of what all they telling me. Because
right.
There's no telling what they'll tell you. Okay? Kind of like my uncle told me, in 1999, we'd come from either Louisiana or Texas preaching meetings, been gone several weeks, and our brother was running our operations here then, and I got out of the truck to go check on him, and I stepped on a little bitty dirt cloud or rock about that big on the sidewalk, and I turned my ankle over. I went down. I really did a number on it, okay? And so I actually couldn't stand and preach without it swelling for probably over a year. And so I really messed it up, and there was nothing they could do to fix it. So after about 3 weeks of crutches and sitting in a recliner 12 hours a day, in a bed 12 hours a night, I get on my crutches and I go up to my Uncle Hewlin Boatner, we call him Uncle Hubo, his grocery store, and I sat down. He was, son, what have you done? I said, well, I've sprained my ankle. And he was about 70 or 75 at the time, 76. We'll just round it off to 76. It doesn't matter. And here was his encouraging words to me. He said, I turned my ankle over when I was 16. It still swoked up. So I said, well, praise God. You know, I've had all the encouragement that I need there. So
time to go.
Okay. I have a fatty liver. I don't know why I got a fatty liver. No, that's not true, but I got a fatty liver. And they always, if I go to a specialist, always put me in a room where there's this big picture of a fatty liver up there, okay? A healthy liver and a fatty liver. And my brother, God bless him, he's not here today. Every time he goes to the doctor, you know what he does? He takes a picture of that fatty liver and sends it to me. And I said, I appreciate you, brother. You're such a blessing to me, you know? And then he'll say something like that. What about that, Big Dan? And I'm saying, like, you know, hey, I can't hear you, okay? I mean, I got to fight a lot to keep my faith going. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to choose to shut this down.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Mark 4:24, we won't have to read it, but he said you got to watch what you hear. Because that stuff comes in here that you can't unhear. You ever get a song stuck in your head? Raise your hand. You get a song stuck in your head and say, dear God, there's that song. Cut it off. I'll be singing it a month. Okay. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I don't do that. When I hear it, it's over. I don't even hear it no more, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but whatever. Anyway, but you got to choose to believe. And sometimes, not the easiest thing done.
That's right.
Micah had a bad four-wheeler wreck in the Coliseum at Jackson. I mean, a bad one. And the time I got to him, he has all this stuff on, chest protectors and helmets and blah, blah, blah. And you really can't tell, you can't do a proper assessment. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know if he's dead or not. It looked dead to me. When you laid over and slobber's running out of your mouth and you're not nothing moving, and you saw what I just saw. So I had to choose to believe that if he was dead, God is yet able. When Jamie had a cardiac arrest, I didn't know anything about it. My phone rang on a Sunday morning. It was my cousin, Deborah. She didn't say hello, good morning, how you doing? She just said, the devil can't have my baby. You hear me, preacher? And I'm thinking, dear God, what's going on? She said, I'm going down to the hospital and run the devil off, okay? And I can assure you, if you get down there with sick folk, you just call Martha and Deborah and they'll come down and read you scriptures day and night. They don't wear out. I mean, they will put the word on you, okay? Am I telling it right, Jessica?
Yes,
Jessica can testify, all right? So sometimes you have to choose to believe. It's not the easiest thing to do, okay? But we got to believe for the kingdom to flow in our lives, all right? Go with me, if you would, please, to 9:23, Mark 9:23. Mark 9:23. And we have faith that God's given us, and we build it by the word of God. And if you're going to believe something, I would strongly advise you to read it in the Bible. These old sayings that you hear, find them in the Bible. Okay, these supersonic spiritual people that tell you stuff that's not even in the Bible. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, this big plaque had a scripture under it, bless God. I knew it didn't sound right. Looked it up, wasn't even in the Bible. I got a message I'm working on, true story, the gospel according to Facebook, all right? So we'll get around to that. Yeah, Jesus. All right, verse number 9:23. Jesus said unto him, he's talking to a blind man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I think he's talking to a blind man. Is that, so what it breaks down to, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, the person that believes, God is able. You see, we got this thing. Everybody believes God can. Can I get say amen? But to justify our unbelief, listen to me now. To justify our unbelief, we throw it back on God and say, but it may not be His will.
That's right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Somebody besides the preacher say amen. Amen. You see, we all know God can. But you get into faith when you say, God will.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith you need to have. You don't need to bury people till they're dead. Need to wait till they're dead before you bury them, all right? And don't help burying them, telling them, well, whatever God's will is, baby, you may not live to midnight. You know what I'm saying? You go in, and you go in with your faith, and you go out that door of your faith and say, I don't just believe God can, but I believe God will bless me because I believe the Word of God. You want to know what God's will is? Read this. You'll find out exactly what God wants to do.
Amen.
And if He healed all these people in here, He will heal you. How do you know that? Well, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? That settles that. So believe. Peter said, I'm going to hope to the end. In other words, the word hope is not our kind of hope. All right? It's a different kind of hope. It's an expectation. He said, I'm going to expect God to do what He said to the end. So when's the end? I don't know. God does. And when we get to the end, then we'll park that and we'll move on. And you can't let something that happens that you don't understand kill your faith.
That's right.
Because you live on a planet that's messed up 17 ways from Sunday, and you ain't going to ever understand everything about it, but God does not change. So just believe, don't just believe He can, but believe He will. And stay with it.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Stay with it.
Amen.
Don't let nobody talk you out of it.
That's right.
Just believe God. You have to take control of your emotions. To do what I'm telling you to do today, you have to take control of your emotions. And your spirit man is going to have to dominate your soul man, your emotional man.
Right.
Okay? Choose to believe.
Glory to God.
Choose to believe.
Glory. Glory.
Choose to believe.
Amen.
You're going to have to stand on that because it's the Word of God. Now go with me if you would, please. Let's drop down to verse 24. Go to the next verse, Joshua. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Now this guy here happened to be honest. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief.
Right.
He had enough faith in there to get the job done, but he also was fighting, Erica, that tug of war that we fight. Paul talked about our flesh and our spirit just fighting all the time. You understand what I'm saying? And then you go through a series. Now here, let's focus right here now. Focus class. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, your neighbors, they good folk, go to church, love Jesus, don't miss, they go to church just like you do, but everything going good for them? Come on, say amen. Everything going good for them. But over here at your house, some of y'all, do I need to go ahead and say it? You know what I'm saying? Over here at your house, ain't nothing going right over here at your house. And you think about taking a knife and going over and cutting the tires off of his new bass boat, bless God, because your little 14 aluminum boat's got holes in it. And you've been serving God longer than they have. Can I get a witness in the house? Am I getting it on down to where you can understand it now? You at work. Your coworker is so lazy, they won't even scratch where a bug bites them. But the boss loves them, gives them a raise. You killing yourself. You get there before they do, open the store. You do all the work while they talk to the boss, and then you don't even get a raise, and they give them a raise. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. Am I getting it down where you understand it now? Some days, Price, it's not easy to choose to believe that God loves you enough to help you over this. But what God's doing in your life on those days, He's building a faith in you that a new bass boat won't build your faith.
Amen.
The reason I'm stuck on bass boats is I've been on a river for the last couple of weeks and a lot of boats down there. So anyway, and so, you know, a bass boat, you meet him doing 70, just nothing but the prop in the water. Holding on. Then you meet some poor old family with 18 people in a boat, in a little 14-foot aluminum boat, and they're just praying and shaking like it's right here. They see them waves coming, you know. They fasting and praying, God, don't let him sink us, all right? Come on, talk to me. So how do you know? I've been in the aluminum boat. You just got a gas on it, baby. This is what God's got me in today. Tomorrow I'll be in another boat. You know what I'm saying? God give them heathens a good fast boat. He'd give me one. Yep. And I'm going to outrun them, bless God. I'm going to wash them up on the bank, all right? You might want to cut back on the attitude a little bit before God gives you the boat. You don't want to kill your family. So.
You think?
Just saying. Nothing make you better than your neighbor get a new boat or a new car or a raise at work. Can I get a witness? Them three things right there messed you up.
Faith busters.
Faith busters. Are y'all with me? Say this with me. Lord, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief.
Lord, I believe.
Okay. That's talking about growing in faith. God's a God of grace. He said where sin did abound, grace did more abound. See, God's grace can outrun your sin.
Amen.
Your sin can't run fast enough, and His grace can't outrun it.
Yes.
So believe that.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus got me here. I don't know how you got here, but the blood of Jesus is what got me here. All right?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus got me here.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. All right, now go with me to Mark 11:22. So, Brother Scott, this is kind of a simple message. Oh, really? Okay, well, cool then. Our offerings are double by next Sunday, all right? Martha, make note how much it is because we got faith in here. It's a little simple message, so we're all going to, you know, we're going to hit the jackpot this week. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Come on. And Martha, I'm not going over next week. They sell lottery tickets, so don't call me, okay? All right, anyway, that being said, Martha's going to win the lottery one day, and I'm going to be standing there right by the IRS to get my share, amen, if I've had to pray for all this. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith. Now, this is tricky. Have faith in who?
God.
One more time. Who are you going to have faith in?
God.
Because see, I've seen people, Pastor, get them up some faith. And God blesses them. And their faith is strong. Let me tell you that one of the worst things you can do to your faith is have faith in your faith.
Amen. That's right.
Let me back up just a little bit right here. God didn't say have faith in your faith. He had said have faith in Him. Because if you have faith in your faith, that's just another religion you just developed. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're not that good. You may not be that strong tomorrow. Your faith may kind of dip tomorrow when you have the blowout and the flood and rain, storm, trying to get to church, and the other folks go by in a $130,000 black Escalade, and you on the side of the road with a spare, and they just blowed at you when they went by. That may dip your faith. I know some of y'all spiritual people won't bother y'all a bit, all right? Come on, somebody must say amen. And Jesus having, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. Because see, he won't change. He won't change.
Amen.
All right, verse 23. Verses we've read many times. Verse 23. Verses we have just read tons of times. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, open your mouth and say to this mountain. See, Brother Scott, you really think we'll do that? Well, that mountain's just talking to you, or you wouldn't be anxious at night. Some of y'all need to get that. Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. There's the hard one. Talking for us here is easy, all right? But we need to not doubt in our heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. So you need to say the word of God, and something will move in heaven and earth, verse 24. Notice what it says in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, not next month, but when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Amen.
Right then. Right. So when I prayed for Brother Ricky and Miss Sarah a while ago, I believed right then. My faith was at a higher point right then because I was under the anointing of God than it may be next week.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that's why I walk from over there to over here because I know how faith works. See, next Tuesday, whatever Rocky's wife's name is, Joey, next Tuesday, Joey, my faith, you know, I may be having just going through hell by the acre, and I may not even think about it, Brother Ricky. I'm just being honest with you. So when my faith was, I saw him, I said, we need to pray for them. So I just, bam, just did it right then. Why? Because my faith was strong. It was rising up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't put off anything. When God tells you something, everything else comes second.
Right.
So, Brother Scotty, that made our church service run late. Well, I hate about that, okay? I try to be conservative with time. But I tell you what, if God speaks to you, you need to shut everything else down. All of a sudden, everything else becomes secondary.
Amen.
Because if God's come secondary, he needs to be our verse of the year, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. That has to happen in that divine order. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so when God brings things to your mind and your spirit, pray for them right there.
Yeah.
I don't care if your artwork. It don't take a long prayer. How do you know? Well, Peter jumped out of the boat, walked out to Jesus in the storm. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, Hilton, he was doing good.
That's right.
But he turned around and looked at them bills. Hilton's a businessman like myself. He looked at that overhead and he started sinking. Can I get a witness in the house? Anybody business right here? He looked at all that money it takes to make money, and you ain't got no money to make money, so you got a vicious cycle. And so Peter started to sink. You know what Peter said? He just said a couple words, Lord, save me, help me.
Right.
He ain't got no hearing problem. He knows what you need. He just wants you to express it. So you ain't got to pray 6 months.
That's right.
Just pray and believe that you receive when you pray. All right, go with me to 2 Corinthians 4:13. Excuse me. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:13. This is why it's important that you read the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Because you cannot speak the Word of God unless you know the Word of God. And if you cannot memorize the Word of God, you can memorize some phrases. And if you cannot memorize the Word of God, every one of you in here, how many of you have a Bible on your phone? Raise your hand. Mine's coming up on this phone. All right. How many of you have a Bible on your phone? So you got it handy. So I hate to break it to you, but we are a generation without excuse.
That's right.
And if you don't know where a verse is, you can just type in right up here where it says, search the little round thing with a line out of it. You can poke it, that's search, and type in a verb, a phrase, or a word, or what you're going to say. It'll pop right up and you say, there it is.
Right.
And you can read the Word of God. And so we need to have that in us, because if we don't have that in us, Mark Breedlove, we can't do this. And we having the same spirit of faith. You see, faith is a spirit. It says right here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, 12, 13, 14, it says faith is a spiritual gift. It says in Galatians chapter number 5 that faith is a fruit of our spirit. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 that faith is a weapon. Faith is everywhere in the Word of God. You cannot function without it, okay? We have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Let me back up just a little bit right here. Spirit of faith. Faith is a spirit. It's not something you do. You don't do faith. You understand what I'm saying? Let me see. Lord, help me, Jesus. Faith is not a works thing that you do. Now, James talks about us seeing our faith. We need to see your faith, okay? But faith inside of you is a spirit, according as it's written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. And we also believe, and therefore we speak. And the only way you can speak faith is to know faith. And the only way you can know faith is to read this book of faith. Paul called it the word of faith in Romans chapter number 10. This is the word of faith. And we need to choose to believe, to speak this book right here. When you come hear me preach, I've been preaching 36 years, so you know what I'm going to preach. You may not know the title of it. You may not know what I may say in the between, but you know that I'm going to preach the word of faith. I'm going to challenge you. I may make you laugh. I may make you cry. But I'm going to put the Word of God in you. All right?
Thank you, Lord.
Somehow or another, if your ear gate's open, I'm going to put it in you. When you go out that door, Pop, don't let the cares of this life choke out what I put in you today.
Amen.
Because we talked about that here 3 or 4 weeks ago. Miss Earlene, when you go out those doors, don't let that bird come by. How many is there planted any corn or something that pops up and then the bird goes out there and you just sit out there and look out there in your window and you look, he's just pulling it right on up. Anybody? Come on, say amen. And you ain't a very good shot. And you shoot at him and dust flies up and he flies off with the dust. All right? That even just makes you madder. That's a faith killer. All right? So, now what I want you to do this week, literally, somehow, if you got time. Now, if you're on the man's clock, don't steal time from him, because he may not be saved. He may not care how spiritual you are. You understand what I'm saying? But as you can, things that come against you that stop you from choosing to believe, you need to write them down. So what is that good thing going to do? Well, you can make you a list of all the stuff that's messing the recipe for doubt. Let's call it the recipe for doubt. That is coming to my spirit. You need to X that stuff off. You need to, here it comes again. I'm not going to talk. They make me mad every time I talk to them, so I ain't going to talk to them. I'm going to just love them, wave them. What's that? I don't know what movie it's in, but Brother Gary sent me a thing the other day with some penguins. I believe they was penguins. Said just smile and wave, boy, just smile and wave. Is that what? Was it penguins?
Madagascar.
All right, Madagascar, whatever that is. There's some penguins on there. Just says smile and wave, boy, smile and wave. Because them faith killers, they after you. They got their radar on you. Come on, talk to me just a little bit. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart this afternoon.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll run over you with a buggy. They'll do anything to keep you from trusting God.
That's right.
I'm talking about the civilians. I ain't even talking about the workers yet, all right? I was in there one night, and all the workers done gone, I guess. I was in there by myself, except one lady. And I came up, had a buggy, and I said, y'all, I'm trying to find a restroom. She said, we got all these self-checkouts right here just for you. I said, respectfully, but I had to take a deep breath, Deb. That Carvel Wayne like to come out bad, okay? I said, ma'am, respectfully, but I don't work here. She said, what? I said, I don't work here.
That's
right. She looked kind of, I said, I don't work here. I said, we already had to basically unload the truck. If we want something, stock the shelves. Y'all have a swipe in the floor before you know it. I don't work here. She said, sir, I will get you somebody to run your restaurant. I said, God bless you. Which one you want me to get on? And I was nice and respectful. Because I don't work there and I don't do self-checkout. That's another story. Me and self-checkout, we're not at one with one another. You understand what I'm saying? I don't understand them. They don't like me because I shut the whole world down. Me and them just don't roll together. It's kind of like last Sunday. I thought about this all week. Nana Celeste, is that what they call you? Cade went out the door, had her by the arm, telling her something 90 miles an hour. I said, Miss Celeste, you need to slow down and listen to what this baby's saying. This is last Sunday morning. She said, well, he's been telling me that same thing since Friday. I said, well, bless God. We need to have, we need to change subjects or something because I don't think you're going to get it, baby. You know what I'm saying? But Cade was bound and determined. He went to bed talking. He woke up talking. Whatever it was, if she finally figured it out, she did it. You got to get him to, you understand what I'm saying? When you go to God, like the man that was in bed, man knocked on his door, said, I'm hungry. Man said, I'm done in bed. Me and my family, we done all up in the bed. We'll sleep. He said, I don't care if you are asleep. We got to Folks knocking on your door will worry you. You'll either get up and help them, feed them, shoot them. You'll do something with them, okay? Am I telling it right? You got to choose to believe. Okay?
It's true.
Every day. This ain't like, well, I'm going to choose to believe today, and it's done.
No.
It's every day. You got to choose to believe that God loves me more than the devil hates me. And I know the Word of God. I've read the Word of God. And I am blessed that they, Pastor Ricky, his precious wife Sarah, had that car wreck. He had to choose to believe God's going to get me through this some way or another if he has to drag me. And that's what you have to do. You have to choose to believe. Last Sunday, I had a cousin here that I hadn't seen in over 30 years, probably about 35 years, Rudy's brother. Rudy hadn't seen him in 25 years. So Rudy started coming to church here almost 2 years ago. So we started praying because we thought he was dead. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. So we started praying. We just started praying. And guess what? Last Sunday, he was sitting on that pew.
Amen. Praise God.
So how many years have you been praying? Well, I've been praying 35 years. And he popped up. Sitting back on the pew. If you don't believe me, look on Facebook. There's a picture of us. He's the one with a cap on, okay? Don't quit praying.
Amen.
Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Believe God. Trust God. Walk with Him. Keep on keeping on. It ain't over yet. The whistle ain't sounded. The buzzer ain't gone off. I don't care what the scoreboard says. You just keep on praying and choosing to believe. And I believe God has plans for us, or we would not be here.
Amen.
Okay? And you're going to have things in this world you can't fix, but they're going to try to steal that faith from you, but you just got to smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. You understand? You just got to keep your faith intact by reading the Word of God. Because I promise you, it's going to be tested, but I promise you, if you'll build that faith stronger and stronger, you'll just push them tests aside. And God will honor your faith. Everything He does through faith. With every head bowed, every eye closed.